Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to begin in Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. And we're going to read down through verses 13 through 15. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preacheth the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Today our title of our study is Beautiful Feet. Beautiful Feet. Feet in the Word of God are often spoken about with a spiritual significance. For example, in Exodus chapter 3, the Lord calls out to Moses from the burning bush. And we read in Exodus chapter 3 in verses 4 and 5. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And then we also see in the book of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 5, just before Joshua was given, was given the command by the Lord to take the city of Jericho, the captain of the Lord of hosts appears to him. In Joshua chapter 5, we see in Joshua 5 in verses 13 through 15. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and, behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him, and said unto him, Art thou for us, or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord of hosts said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now the spiritual significance of both Moses and Joshua being told to take off their shoes is to show they had to come to the Lord barefooted. In other words, neither one of them had anything of themselves that impressed the Holy God. And remember, the same goes for the born-again believer. In order for the Lord to use us and for us to be able to walk with the Lord, we have to step out of our old life and step into our new life in Christ. We do this by taking off the shoes the world has given us and putting on the spiritual shoes God has given us, whereby we are to walk the rest of our lives according to the will of Almighty God. You see, when you get saved, then you become a new creature, amen? The Bible declares in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Some other examples of the spiritual significance of the feet in the Word of God are as follows. Worship is often shown by falling at another's feet. We often see in the Bible, especially in the gospel accounts, where people came and fell down and worshiped at the feet of Jesus. Also, reverence was expressed by kissing another's feet, as a woman did when Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house there in Luke 7, verse 38. Also, subjugation. Subjugation of the enemy was expressed by placing one's foot on the enemy's neck. For example, Joshua told the captains of the men to put their feet upon the necks of the captured Amorite kings. And then in Psalm 110, verse 1, God the Father promises God the Son that he will make his enemies his footstool. To be at anyone's feet is used to express being at one's service, following him, or receiving his instructions. In Acts chapter 22, in verse number 3, the Apostle Paul tells us, he said, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as ye all are this day. So we see that he was instructed, amen, by Gamaliel, amen, and that we see that he sat at his feet, or at the feet of Gamaliel, which is to show, to express that he was receiving instruction, amen, of that great teacher of the time. Then we also read in Luke chapter 10, in verse number 39, we're told that Mary, of course, Mary was the sister of Martha and Lazarus, Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. Also in Psalm 40, verse 2, the psalmist wrote, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Here in Psalm 40, this expresses the idea of stability in one's Christian life. Amen. Psalm 31 in verse 8, we read, thou hast set my feet in a large room. And this denotes liberty. Now, the sliding of the feet in the Bible denotes yielding to temptation. Treading underfoot in the Bible implies complete destruction. To wash or dip one's feet in oil or butter signified one possessed abundance or to be prosperous. To dip one's foot in your enemy's blood signified victory. To keep the feet of the saints meant to preserve them from stumbling. To set one's foot in a place signified to take possession. Now, the washing of another's feet expressed humility and servitude. Submission to the washing of your feet was a sign of confession of the need for cleansing and an affirmation of faith that when the Messiah came, he would provide cleansing for all his people. So in John chapter 13, where Jesus washes the feet of his disciples, this shows us the Son of God humbles himself and was obedient to the will of God, to the will of the Father. He became a servant, so he could literally cleanse us from all our iniquities. Now, in our study today, we're going to look at the characteristics of beautiful feet. In other words, what the spiritual characteristics of the believer's feet, spiritual feet, should be. Number one, to have beautiful feet, they should be set upon the rock. To have beautiful feet, they should be set upon the rock. Now turn with me, if you would, to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. In Matthew chapter 16, look with me at verse number 18. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. We have Jesus speaking here, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, if you ask a Roman Catholic, amen, what the rock is, he will tell you, based on what we just read, wrestling the scriptures, amen, here in Matthew 16, verse 18, that the rock is the Apostle Peter, that the church is built on Peter. Now, if you asked a Mormon, he would tell you the rock is the Book of Mormons or their founder, Joseph Smith. If you asked a Jehovah's Witness, he would tell you the rock is one of their founders, either Pastor Russell or Judge Rutherford, or their New World Translation, amen. If you asked a Christian Scientist, he would tell you the rock is their founder, Mary Baker Eddy, in her divine writings. If you asked a Buddhist, he would tell you his rock is Buddha. If you asked a Muslim, they would tell you their rock is Muhammad or the Quran. However, my dear friends, the scriptures tell us very clearly that the rock mentioned in Matthew 16, 18 is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, the church is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ and not a sinful man like the Apostle Peter. Each individual Christian is part of the church or the body of Christ. Each Christian's feet should be set upon the rock. The rock, capital R-O-C-K, the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to have beautiful feet. All through the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as our spiritual foundation. In Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." And then we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42, we read, "Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? That is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Speaking about himself, amen. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 20, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." You see, my dear friend, there are two foundations in which you can choose to build your spiritual house on. Two spiritual foundations. God always gives us a choice. He gives us free will, either to choose his way or the world's way. Look with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, Jesus is speaking here. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Jesus is saying here, he's saying, if a man hears what I say and does what I say, then by doing that, in essence, what he's doing is he's building his spiritual foundation upon a rock, upon me. Amen. Upon solid ground. Amen. Now notice what happens if you build your spiritual house on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, what Jesus is talking about here, he's talking, of course, about physical things, but he's making a spiritual application. Amen. If you build your spiritual foundation on him, and you do that by listening to what he has to say and doing what he says, not just listening, but putting practical application into your Christian walk, amen, doing what Christ says, amen, is building it upon a spiritual rock, which he is. And what happens now, the rain and the floods and the winds, amen, are physical things, but they can apply to, or they're types of trials and troubles and testings in our lives, are they not? And what Jesus says, if your spiritual house is built upon me, if you're obeying, if you're listening to what I have to say and doing it, then when trials and troubles and tribulations come, they're going to come. It doesn't mean they're not going to come, but you're not going to fall apart. Your spiritual house is not going to fall down, amen. It's going to be able to stand up against the test, amen, of the trial and the tribulation and the testing and trouble that comes your way, amen. Now notice, though, in verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, okay, there are folks that hear what Jesus says and doeth them not. Here's what he says, but doesn't pay any attention to what he listens to what he says, but doesn't do it, doesn't put it into practice. He says, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And he's making a distinction between those that build on him, on the rock, and those that build on sand. The ones that build on rock are wise. Amen. The ones that build on sand are foolish. And those that build their spiritual house on sand are those that hear what Jesus says but doesn't do it. Now notice what happens. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So what's going to happen to those folks that don't do what Jesus says? Here's what he said but doesn't do it. They're building, amen, their spiritual foundation on sand. So when trials and troubles come, testings come, they're going to fall flat on their face. Their spiritual house is going to be destroyed, amen. And the sad part about it is, what their foundation, if it's not built upon the Lord, upon the rock, it's built upon sand, a quicksand of life that looks real good to the eye. But like when the trials and troubles and testings come, it can't hold up to it. Amen. And the foundation is basically built upon the devil and his crowd. And someday you'll fall right into the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. Amen. That's what he's saying here. That's right. You know, there's a part of the city of Boston that's built basically on swampland. Amen. On fill. And it's the same application as we're reading what Jesus said. What's going to happen because of the foundation is not granite, is not rock, is not stone. If there's just any kind of a little bit of an earthquake at all those skyscrapers that are built over there in that Back Bay section of Boston are going to come tumbling down. Amen. Same with you. If you're not built upon the rock, if your feet is not firmly set on the foundation, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, amen, the rock, then what's going to happen is you're going to fall someday. Amen. Especially when judgment day comes, you're going to fall right into that lake of fire. The only way you can lay your spiritual foundation and set your feet upon the rock, the real rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, and not the Apostle Peter, who, by the way, Christ said was an offense to him and called him Satan and told him to get behind him. The only way that you can set your feet upon the real rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, is by repenting of your sins. That's right. And trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else to pay for your sins and to take you to heaven. My friend, if you have never, ever called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, won't you do that today? Won't you do that right now, wherever you are? Won't you call upon the name, the only name that can save you, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Because he is the rock. You need to lay your foundation on him. That's what your life should be resting on, is Jesus Christ, and not the quicksand of the world. Amen. It's so simple, my friend. There's nothing that you have to do. Amen. He's done it all, Jesus Christ at Calvary. You need to have repentance towards God for your sins. Amen. And faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to do as the Bible says. It's very simple. That's the way God wants it to be. Amen. He wants it to be that way. The Bible tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's not just enough to know in your head, amen, to have a head knowledge that Christ died. He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. No, it's got to be in your heart. Amen. Because what's in your heart, you'll confess with your mouth. No one will have to beat you over the head to get you to say any kind of a prayer. You'll be one of saying God's praise on your lips and praising God for saving you. Amen. If it's already been done, the work's been done in your heart. You know, I believe, of course, I'm pastor of a good old independent a Baptist church, and as John the Baptist says, if I wasn't a Baptist, I'd be ashamed, amen? And we still have good old-fashioned altar calls, amen? Good old-fashioned altar calls, where men and women of God can get right with God, do business with God, where sinners can come and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, amen. But what I want to say is oftentimes when that person gets out of their seat and comes down, amen, to the altar, they're already saved. The decision has already been made. They realize they're a sinner, amen, because of their sins they die and go to hell. Amen, and they're coming forward to trust Christ. But they've already done that in their heart. Now we're seeing the expression at the old-fashioned altar, amen. And praise God, amen, for the churches that still have those old-fashioned altar calls, amen. Oh, so many of them, churches have taken the name Baptist, amen. A lot of them are community churches now. No more altar calls, no more preaching against sin, amen. If you are in a good, independent, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, teaching church, amen, a good independent Baptist church, stay there and be a blessing to the man of God and support him, amen. So we're seeing how to have beautiful feet. The first characteristic to have beautiful feet is that your feet need to be set upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Very important. Amen. Very important, number one, to have beautiful feet. Characteristic number two is to have beautiful feet, they should be directed by the Lord. That's right. They should be directed by the Lord. You know, oftentimes a person gets saved, but ends up living most of his or her life out of the will of God. Even though a person's feet are set upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, they're saved, they can still wander in the wilderness of life like the children of Israel did because of their unbelief. They simply would not believe what the Lord said he would do. And that's all faith really is, my friends. Amen. Is believing what God said he would do. Amen. In other words, when you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, repent of your sins and call upon his name and receive Jesus Christ, the reason you're doing is because you have faith in what God said. If you do this, if you repent of your sins and call upon his name, you'll be saved. Amen. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about the steps of the saint and how he is to walk. We are told many times in the scriptures not to turn aside either to the right or to the left. Amen. But to look straight ahead. You see, as Christians, we are to walk in this world with spiritual blinders. You've seen a horse that has blinders, so he can't look out of either side of his eyes, amen? So nothing can distract that horse and upset it and get it riled. Same thing, we need to have our spiritual blinders on. So we're always looking straight ahead with our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? However, you know what happens with many of us? Many of us try to look around those spiritual blinders to get a glimpse of the world. Some of us get so out of fellowship with God and backslidden that we take the spiritual blinders off. And we allow our eyes to lust after the things of the world. Just as old Lot did when he lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered. What happened? He ended up choosing the plains of Jordan, number one. Then he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And finally, he ended up smack dab in the middle of Sodom. Lot took his eyes off the Lord and no longer allowed him to direct his steps. Amen. That's what happened. He had a choice. Amen. That's right. He had a choice. He had either to allow the Lord to direct his steps, or he allowed his flesh, his sin nature, amen, to direct his steps. Again, God gives us a choice. Amen. Gives us a choice to receive his son or not receive him. And if we do receive him, then he gives us a choice now. Do you want to follow me? Do you want to have a victorious life? Or do you want to just live in the breakdown life? Amen. On the breakdown lane, amen. Instead of being on that course and finishing your course, amen. Letting something sidetrack you, amen. Breaking you down. Making you a castaway Christian, amen. Well, we have many more things we want to see here about beautiful feet, and our time has elapsed here on the pastor study. So when we continue next time with beautiful feet, we'll continue to look at the second point here. To have beautiful feet, your steps must be, or your feet must be, directed by the Lord.